From where I come from, an object either is at rest or moves at a constant velocity, unless acted upon by an external force. Some say that this force is divine in nature, that it is the deities who predestine all things to come to pass in accordance to their will. Others believe they are the sole fabricators of their own destiny. If all beings would seek their own fortunes, to change their fate, or to merely strive for their own survival, then who are we to judge the means for them to achieve that which they so desire? To whom shall we seek counsel in these matters? Where can we look for the answers? And if there were such souls, naive and brave enough to search for it, I can only hope that those answers favor us when they find it.
You're listening to The Evening Edition, Ezra Zayd here, as well as Uma Bagan, APK Bagan. Uma, what we're hearing right now, it's not the teaser to a new movie.
No, it's not. In fact, it's the prologue to a new RPG, role-playing game, called Chemkaper. So you fight these battles, complete quests, and gain skills to progress to higher levels, like in many other RPGs. But what's different about Chemkaper is that it's created to teach students chemistry.
Right, and Uma, you've played the game?
Yes, I have. I played it on my iPhone. They sent me a little beta link.
Right.
And it's really interesting because I was expecting an education game. Like, you know, where they're straightforward, yes, do this and then you learn something.
No. And there's some graphics and some points involved, but more than that.
This is a proper, full-fledged RPG. It's like playing Final Fantasy or something on your game, and there's a strong educational element as well.
Yeah, so it's an interesting initiative to use digital games in learning, but would games like this one, Chemkaper, be beneficial or relevant to the local education scene? How would, in fact, students or parents and teachers take to this idea?
So, to discuss these questions, we spoke to Anne Tham from Ace Adventure Studio, creator of Chemkaper, and of course Dathin Noor Azima from Parent Action Group for Education, also known as PAGE.
Ladies, welcome to the show. And maybe just to kick things off, tell us a little bit more about Chemkaper. I mean, we're already talking about video games. Me and Uma are already on board by default.
Yeah, definitely.
So how did this whole thing come about?
It's just a bunch of teachers who, you know, we struggle on a regular basis, trying to get kids excited about learning the way the teachers are excited. So we realize there's a big difference. So you may come to class with the excitement, but if the kids don't feel the same way, it's tough. So it takes a lot of energy to try to bring the energy up that way. So we decided, look, we can't be the only ones having trouble with chemistry. In fact, it's the sciences and math generally around the world. The majority of people are really not into it, yeah? So we decided, why don't we do something about it? And since, you know, games are a bit of a contention, you know, we're talking about computer games for students and the parents, and we say, okay, why don't we use that medium that kids enjoy and teach them through it rather than fight over it?
Right.
That's how it came about, you know?
And actually, when you mentioned chemistry, you know, on the way here, I was thinking, you know, of all of the things that need gamification, me personally, it was chemistry right on top of
that. Oh, is that right?
List.
Okay, yeah, so for me, chemistry was my favorite subject. It was one of the few A's I got in SPM.
Of course it was.
But I think I could have used a game for something like physics.
Yeah.
Or math.
Well, anything within the maths and sciences. And you mentioned earlier about how difficult it was to get, I guess, those energy levels up, those interests in the kids. What was the attitude of most of the kids in class when it came to these sort of subjects like math and science?
Okay. Math and sciences, you really have to have an affinity to learning it because it's just the way the brains are wired. Some people are just better with the languages and others are better with numbers and the sciences and things like that. So the way we looked at it, when you have kids coming in not interested in the sciences and the math and you try to get them to love it and study it and sit for exams, it's a big ask. Really, really a big ask. So we said, okay, look, we're actually not just doing chemistry game, by the way. Once we're done with chemistry, we're looking at physics world, bio world, math, and at math world. So we're going to pull the whole thing under one major universe.
The gamification of calculus.
Yeah.
That's what people need.
Yes. So, yeah, no pressure, but we'd love to head there someday.
Dr. Nazima, I guess, you know, people for the longest time, and I mean primarily, you know, 15, 13-year-old me, teenagers, you know, all across the country and the world have always been advocates for this approach when it comes to learning whatever it is, learning new rules to a sport, learning, you know, how to interact or eye-hand coordination, whatever it is. But what we're seeing here now is probably something slightly a bit more advanced. Are we excited about this? Are we concerned about this? How should we look at this particular synergy?
Oh, well, I think that this is a fantastic initiative. Of course, you know, teaching before was just chalk and board, you know, and then we took about 10 years to move from chalk and board to marker and whiteboard, you know, and now it's we are supposed to be moving on to the virtual learning environment in schools.
Tablet and stylus, right?
Yeah, but yeah. It's not quite happening. But I think it's great that this has come about because kids are, as you say, wired differently. And they're done with learning through the whiteboard and marker. They're looking at something more exciting, more savvy, in tune with what they have in their minds. And they probably think that the teachers are using dinosaur methods to teach, which is why the interest in the sciences isn't there, because they're just not getting through to the children. Well, the ministry has been trying to introduce a virtual learning environment, and it's just not caught on in schools. And I think what's holding it back is really teachers find it as tiresome, well, having to introduce something new.
I think for at least maybe in the past 2 or 3 years, I've heard a lot of encouraging examples about teachers being in classrooms, trying to make the learning experience more interactive, hence introducing not games through their tablets per se, but introducing a gaming element that makes it a little bit more interesting. And you mentioned those analogies about chalk and board and marker and whiteboard. We've been using a lot of these new technological tools, but we haven't actually gotten the software right to really engage with these young students.
I think it's just getting access to the internet is a problem in schools. You know, that is the crux of the matter. Once the ministry can address that, then I think the next step would be to be able to bring in all the software into the schools. But again, I believe that teachers need assistance to move forward with this new method of learning and teaching.
So that was Datin Azima from Parent Action Group for Education, also known as PAGE, as well as Anne Tham from Ace Adventure Studio. They're the creators of the RPG game Chem Caper. In a while, we'll hear a brief review of the game from a student who just completed his SPM examinations last month. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, everyone. You're with Uma and Ezra, and we've been talking about educational digital games. What you've just heard are some sounds from an RPG or role-playing game called Chem Caper.
The game is created by Ace Adventure Studio, and it aims to teach students chemistry. We spoke to Anne Tham from Ace Adventure Studio, and we asked her, why an RPG format for a chemistry game? And I mean, an RPG seems like a no-brainer because obviously for anyone growing up playing these kind of role-playing games, there are already these chemistry elements, right? You know, you mix different potions to create a more powerful potion or enhance your armor or something, right? I mean, is that why in particular you went with an RPG?
Yes, actually it's really tough because it's never been done. It's been 3 years in the making, by the way, and finally our beta testing is complete and we are currently working on it right now. You just imagine taking on something that's never been done. So we are literally the first chemistry role-playing game in the world right now. Not only that, we found out that this is going to be the first 3D educational role-playing game out there. I'm not talking about just in Malaysia alone. In fact, we were doing quite a number of things that kind of put us in a position where we weren't even sure exactly how we were going to market this, you know. Do we put it under game, or, you know, or do we put it under educational games? And the other thing we looked at it, do we park it under primary school or do we put it at secondary? Because imagine bringing chemistry down to primary kids. By the time, this is our vision. By the time they get to chemistry at 15 or 16, we want them to say, yay, I look forward, I love chemistry. You know, I remember playing this and all the characters there. And imagine the task would be so much easier for teachers if kids came in with that attitude.
Now, we'll hear more from Antham, but we also spoke to a student who shares some thoughts about educational video games.
My name is Arif Akil. I have just finished my SPM and I am from SMK Sri Chempaka, Cheras.
Arif, he just completed his SPM examinations last year and he's also tried a hand at the beta tester version of ChemCaper. Here's my conversation with him. So, you've just tried out the beta tester version of ChemCaper. What did you think?
I think it was pretty interesting, yeah, because most of the things that they've applied in the game is what I've learned in school in my chemistry. And as I played the game, I thought to myself, like, wow, this is actually really cool. You know, I've actually seen this apparatus in my school. I've actually used this apparatus. I've actually seen all these, I've actually used these concepts to answer questions. And you learn all the elements in the periodic table and some of them, how they combined, how they, you know, exist together. So, yeah, it's quite interesting and it's really educational as well. And not to mention, it's very colorful. It's also very funny because when you play the game, they kind of like give you these, how do I put it, like chemistry jokes. And from that chemistry jokes, you actually learn a lot.
So walk me through the moment you start the game. What happens exactly? What are your objectives? What do you have to do?
Okay. My hero is called Rubidium. Yeah, basically he is actually a group one element, Rubidium. But, you know, they changed the name to Rubidium. Because it took me a while to try to figure out why his name was like that. Then I was like, oh, I see. All right, and the first objective that I was given actually was to find engine parts for my ship because my hero, Rubidium, he was like on his way back to his home planet because it was attacked by some foreign creatures and aliens and so. And so Rubidium, he was trapped on this camp called Camp Unku. And in this camp, he had to find all these engine parts to help his friend so that they both together can go back to his home world. And on Camp Unku itself, they give you, like, the basic knowledge on how, like, elements, and the elements, you actually use them as these things called particles. Particles are basically your pets, but they attack. Like, they are your defense, they're your attack, they are your offense as well, and they come together and they teach Rubidium to, like, oh, okay, this is how you use me. Because there's always, like, that information gap on the side of, like, oh, this is my abilities and this is how I'm going to help you. And not to mention that you also, well, there are shops that are, like, in typical RPG games, and the shops teach you, like, all these chemistry apparatus that you have to trace out to achieve, and also all these other elements in the periodic table that have their names been, like, changed to suit the game, to turn them to particles, which are your pets, and they help you. The other objective was to, you know, go back home and, you know, see his parents. His Rubidium, he was traveling for, like, a really long time, I guess, and because, you know, after the attack, what kind of child wouldn't want to know the condition of their parents after being attacked, you know?
It sounds like it feels more of just a game rather than, like, you know, how people are branding it as an educational game. That, I mean, it certainly sounds like it feels like a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, games, they are meant to be fun, and some of them are also meant to be educational. But I see this game as both. I feel like if you are starting chemistry or you're a science student, and you're not really familiar with all these chemistry concepts, I feel like you can use ChemCaper to actually teach students, to teach them about all these particle bonding and how they react with each other to form new, like, chemical compounds and ionic compounds and so on and so forth.
So being, I guess, having just graduated from secondary school and now you're playing this game, do you feel like games are an effective tool to introduce some very difficult concepts on some of these school subjects? Do you think that's going to be an interesting approach moving forward?
Oh, yes, totally, because I believe that technology itself can help students, like, you know, understand really difficult concepts better as to compare to, like, the conventional way of, like, you know, sitting in class, opening your textbook and just reading it from there. But I feel like through technology and games, students can actually learn these concepts better. Not only that, that they can also shape these concepts to, like, you know, suit other things in their syllabus that they learn in school. Also, I feel that students, they tend to want something more fun and exciting than to, like, you know, just sit in class and read the textbook. So I feel like games and technology now, considering it has increased gradually throughout the years, it can actually be used as a tool to educate teens or children, you know, all these general knowledge and all these, like, science stuff that you probably have to know to actually, you know, bring forward yourself in life.
Final question. Can you imagine, I mean, you just finished SPM. Can you imagine any of your former teachers playing this game and having fun with it? Your former chemistry teacher, would he or she have enjoyed this game?
I think she would, because I know she's very open to other methods of teaching, because I know when I was still schooling, she always used, like, different methods, like maybe she let us watch a video on how these chemicals combine, or sometimes she'd also, like, you know, we had people come in to show us, like, oh, these things react with each other and how things, like, break down as well and how things cannot form or cannot be mashed up together, cannot react together. Yeah.
That was, of course, Arif Akil sharing his views about educational video games as a student who just completed his SPM examinations. After the news, we'll return to our interview with Anne Thumb from Ace Adventure Studio, as well as Datin Azimah from Page. Stay tuned with us on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
You're with Uma and Ezra on the Evening Edition, and today we're discussing the use of digital games in education.
So, Uma, one thing that I notice when I'm playing a video game is this crazy background music, and what we're hearing right now is a soundtrack to a new RPG called Chem Caper.
Yeah.
It's a video game that teaches students chemistry. Now, the soundtrack for Chem Caper was written by Norihiko Hibino, and for those who are not familiar with the name, Norihiko Hibino, he's a Japanese video game composer who wrote the scores for several AAA RPGs, such as
Metal Gear Solid
video game series. Yeah.
That's right. For a chemistry game, now this is very interesting.
And here's what the composer had to say in an interview with Ace Adventure Studio.
The difference between the chemistry game and the, like, AAA title like Metal Gear Solid is, you know, those, the big games, usually the producers and some other directors, they have already something in mind that what kind of music they want. And they always refer to some other soundtrack. We want music something like this. We want this kind of feeling in this section. So they have kind of a solid idea of what the music is supposed to be. On the other hand, the Chem Caper game is, we are really building from scratch. So the visual is really in not yet polished yet. We only have a very vague idea or what the visual will be like, and the character is just not polished yet. But I kind of create the music so that all the programmer, designers, even the producers, they kind of share the vision of where we are going to and where the story is going to be.
Now we're going to continue our conversation about educational video games with Anthem from Ace Adventure Studio, as well as Datin Azima from Parent Action Group for Education, also known as PAGE.
And given that this is the only 3D chemistry game in the world, I guess it's not just for Malaysian students, it's for everyone.
Yes. We actually, we're targeting to launch this game at the GDC, the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. This year, in fact, we have a couple of target countries that's going to go live all at one time. That will be Canada as well, besides Malaysia. And I think UK is the other country. Indonesia, because we have Indonesian partners, so it's going to go live across 5 countries. And we got a lot of attention from people from Stanford University, from Carnegie Mellon University, because they were trying to do games, you know. And that's happening across the world right now. There are countries that are really into looking at digital games for students. I think Finland is a country that's really big on this right now, France, and definitely the United States. Yeah. The other parts of the world is like sporadic. You know, people are doing it, but I don't think it's an initiative that's big from the country itself or even, like, say, universities in general.
You know, when you were mentioning all of these different countries and the Game Developers Conference, it is remarkable, isn't it, that we're in 2015, video games are at such an advanced level, yet the merging of education and gaming in this particular instance has taken a long time to come about. Why is that the case?
Oh, that's easy to answer. Money. Money is the issue. You need really a political will or major financial backing to do this because it's very expensive. And then once it's done, the monetizing of it, it won't make sense to a lot of companies if they were to do this.
I guess it's easy for Xbox
for entertainment games.
To spend money on Halo 3 and, you know, all of these different type of games. And this is really interesting. I mean, what factors went into the consideration when you were planning the game? Because there are so many elements to it. The playability aspect of it is a huge component, but so that everything makes sense in relation to the subject matter at hand, how did you sort of come about it?
We chose actually the toughest subjects to actually teach and learn. And what happened was we looked at it. Everything that we do, we have to have, the facts must be there, you know, and yet bring in the fictional part of stuff and be in a world that is fantasy, you know, if you will. So that was tough. The other one that really makes it different is that right now, if you look at chemistry, the way it is taught is linear. You know, if you do it over 2 years, it's every topic is linear. So you just imagine we are creating a space where everything is interconnected because that's how chemistry works. And that's why it's so confusing because every topic is connected to every other topic, you know. And if you're looking at adding in the next year's syllabus, it's connected to every topic in that year and every topic in the year before. So we are trying to create a game that brings this whole thing together. Yeah. So we've started the process. Let's see where we go with it.
Datin Azima, I suppose if something like this does take off, it's really going to change the role of parents, students, teachers. How do you see that playing out?
Well, the role of the teacher, well, let's put it this way. The Ministry of Education has always wanted the role of teacher to change into one of a facilitator. They started that, I think, 10 years ago. Whether or not that has happened, I don't know. But definitely, or as far as parents are concerned, they want the straight A's.
Right.
You know, they want the straight A's. They will wonder about this game, this gamification of education. They will wonder and they will say, okay, all right, sounds great, but will this guarantee my child will get an A+ in chemistry? That is the crux of the matter, you know. And even now with all this high order thinking skills being put in by the Ministry of Education into SPM questions, for instance, it was really bad this time or really good, depends on how you see it, you know. What the child is being tested now is how do you apply all these theories and concepts in chemistry? And this is what will make you the better scoring student in Form 5, for instance. You know, so that is your challenge. Can you prove to the parent that this will get the child the A+?
I mean, this is an interesting, I guess, intersection for getting new approaches and strategies to be pushed through and getting a buy-in from the relevant stakeholders, right? So I've no doubt...
parents as much as government.
Yeah.
Right?
So I've no doubt that, you know, when Kim Caper is ready and is ready to be released, you know, kids will interactively learn a lot quicker. But if that can be translated into results, I mean, that would be your ideal scenario. Are there other, I guess, considerations and roadblocks that you have to think about when sort of rolling out a game like this that is targeted towards teaching and learning?
Definitely, because we've been asked, how do you test this and know that it works? Like, the kids are going to know more than they started off with. Do you have questions, you know, to find out whether they score better after that?
Or whether they've retained any of the information.
Correct. So the way we looked at it, we told them, you know, it's really targeted at 10 to 14-year-olds. So you can't really bring a Form 4 test in to try it out on kids. But what we have done is we have got questions. Later on, we will probably have something where the kids can go on and try out questions, but more in a fun way, because that's who we are. We tend to push the boundaries of teaching and learning, and we can make things a lot more relevant to the students, quirkier. They love things that are disgusting, for one. Yeah, so we could do that, no problem. We're cool with that. So we have to head in that direction where they will be trying out questions, but not in the traditional sense, you know, and it won't be like a test. But yet you can see that they have retained this information. They could talk about this, or they could talk about, you know, reactive metals or the different types of bonding. And I think if you can have primary kids talking about that, I think that's step one taken.
After this, more chat about educational digital games with Antham and Dathin Azima right here on the Evening Edition BFM 89.9.
Hey folks, you're with Ezra and Uma on the Evening Edition. For the past 45 minutes or so, we've been discussing educational digital games. And if you're talking about merging video games with academic learning, it's clear that you would have to take into account the roles and opinions of different stakeholders like parents and teachers.
You're right. And that issue has been running through much of our discussion for today. So we'll continue our conversation on this topic with Dathin Azima from PAGE, or Parent Action Group for Education, and Antham from Ace Adventure Studio, the creators of Chem Caper. So, Anne, making this game accessible to kids is one thing, but you've also got to make this game accessible to the people teaching it. So how accessible is the game to the teachers?
Okay, now that's really interesting, because I have to get back to what you said earlier to Dathin Azima, which is we actually bypass the teachers.
Right.
Yes.
So it's a standalone product.
Yeah, because in order for teachers to use, it'll have to be a step up from a textbook, which is not going to work, you know. Children are way ahead. So when we did this game, it was direct to students. And I mean, imagine our target is for 10 to 14-year-olds to learn this game, to play this game. So chemistry is not even in their realm. Forget about talking to them about chemistry.
No, we only start learning it in Form 3, Form 4.
Precisely. Yeah. So it'll be even better if we can engage kids who are even younger. So imagine they already have the context. You see, right now, part of the huge problem that teenagers are facing when doing chemistries, they really don't have a context for it, you know. So they're going in blind and learning chemistry and all this tough stuff for the first time, and they're supposed to master it within 2 years. Now, it takes 2 years for mastery to happen in any, you know, whatever skill you pick up, you know, at least 2 years, you know. So you're looking at the things that they learn at the beginning of Form 4 being mastered. But what about the rest of the chemistry, you know, for the rest of the 2 years? They don't even have a chance to master the subject, and they have to sit for a major exam. So what we wanted to do was to actually bring it down a lot earlier, so they already have a context before they even start learning chemistry. You know, that was our whole premise of what we're doing.
And your company, Sirius International, it also manages two international schools, Sri Emas and Dwi Emas. I guess that's an interesting platform to have to really utilize and see what the results are. How excited or nervous are you about it?
Okay, my teachers who are involved in this game, they all have, they are part of the business. They have ownership of it. So we wanted to create a space where our teachers, like, they have ownership and this is theirs. So when they deal with it, that sense of belonging, is strong. Because people tend to take care of children, but they don't take care of the teachers. So this is what we're doing. The other thing is that because it is a school, we're gaining a lot of traction. News got picked up because it's coming from a school and not from a game developer. You know, the other thing is that we're very fortunate because we do have a lot of teachers who are very young, who grew up playing games. Mm-hmm. And so when we created the game design, gameplay, they're the ones pushing all the boundaries. You know, I'm the loudspeaker, you know, because I can't play role-playing games. I'm learning about it as we move along, but we believe in it, and that's why we have allowed our people to just step up and just take this on and run with it.
With all of these inquiries, when you've gone to these conferences overseas and stuff, and I guess I'm very interested about where the educationists sit on and where the game developers look. And are you always curious about game developers sort of tapping your shoulder? You know what? I think we can achieve that particular objective a lot quicker by changing a couple of things. I mean, how open? I mean, that must be such an endless and open process for you to consider.
Okay, you'd be surprised to know that it's been crazy because we've got positive feedback from game publishers, from game companies, you know, really big game developers, and also from all the major digital companies around the world, because we got invited to Silicon Valley to meet up with some of the big guys. In fact, we were featured at the Google I.O. and we were invited to go to Mountain View. So yes, my students actually said, you know, I can't believe it, my teacher at Google head office, I can't believe this.
Yeah, that's their worst nightmare, isn't it? That, for their teachers to be cool. Well, I guess the other question is, I mean, Dadayazima, if you can, I guess, look into your crystal ball. And we've seen a lot of innovative ideas and approaches to revamping or reforming our education system met with a lot of pushback. And it would be unfortunate if something as relevant and innovative as this to receive that similar, you know, non-specific pushback that, well, you know, this is what we need to achieve by these set of dates and we're going to go and stick to this particular rigid plan. What sort of engagement or dialogue needs to happen so that innovation like this actually gets a warmer reception?
It's parents thinking generally conservative, traditional. They're so used to having the school and the tuition center backing up. So this is going to take a mindset change, you know, because traditionally parents see games as a waste of time. It's a costly waste of time. So if there'll be a lot of convincing, you know, to say, for instance, replacing tuition with games.
It's almost like they'll accept Scrabble, but not anything more than that.
Actually, I can give you some feedback on this one. You'll be amazed. In fact, parents are looking forward to this because we've been talking to people for 3 years now, and we have had so many people approach us as well because they say that, you know, this is a game we can get behind. You know, because it's of value. It's not a waste of time. And we are not trying to replace the school, nor are we trying to replace if parents are convinced by tuition. This is like happening way before they even need it at Form 4 or 5. So, and I know parents get very excited when their kids learn things way before their time, you know. And that's exactly what we're getting. In fact, we had a space in Comic Con recently. Teachers from some of the international schools were thrilled by it. A parent whose kid followed the school to the conference actually called up our people to say, how do we get hold of this game? So what we have found is it didn't matter whether it was educationists or people in the digital industry or people even in politics or government, when they saw it, they liked it. They just liked it. And they say it's time.
And is there a concern about accessibility, about who, you know, who gets the opportunity to play this game? I'm trying to think about kids in urban areas versus kids in rural areas. But, I mean, to be fair, you know, when I was growing up with my cousins in rural Kelantan, I mean, they were better at Super Nintendo than I was. So I understand that it's not about how quickly they can adapt to it, but I guess it's about accessibility towards playing the game itself.
Okay, we have an announcement because we are actually doing a Kickstarter campaign because we need help to get this on the PC. a PC version, because the PC version will allow us to be able to get it out to kids who do not have internet access. And everything that we have done, we've kept it much, much lower cost than you would otherwise expect a whole year's chemistry to cost, you know. And our intention was actually to get it out to as many kids as possible. To reach all, unlikely, but we could go for the majority. And that's our target.
So this Kickstarter campaign, it's clearly quite important for that PC approach to take place, because I guess Bill Gates somewhere in the 90s achieved his goal of having a PC in every home.
In every home.
And it literally has actually a game-changing effect, pardon the pun, about people absorbing and having access to this game. So we have the PC Kickstarter campaign. What's next after that for ChemCaper?
We have Act 2, which is equivalent to year 8 of chemistry. So that's the next thing that we've actually started the plans for Act 2 already. And that's going to take us more time. However, once the first game goes out, we know that we'll have an easier time of it because we've gone past that steep learning curve, you know. So we're not starting from scratch. The characters are there. We're building upon the characters and creating more characters, but the basic characters are there. So we're no longer starting from scratch.
That was Datin Azima from Parent Action Group for Education, also known as PAGE, as well as Anne Tham from Ace Adventure Studio, the creators of the RPG or role-playing game called ChemCaper, the crowdfunding project on Kickstarter for ChemCaper's PC version, as mentioned by Anne in the interview, was launched yesterday. So if you'd like to contribute to this project, you can visit their website at chemcaper.com.
That's all for our show on educational digital games, folks. If you missed any part of this program, you can look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. This has been Ezra Anuma on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.